Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking with our regular guest, Chad Spaeth, the owner of Chad's Design Build. Chad, good to see you back.
Thanks, Larry. Always great to be here.
And Kathy Driftmeyer joins Chad. Kathy's an independent interior designer. She owns Driftmeyer Design. And so they'll be talking with us about design or other home improvement questions that you might have. So I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Kathy, tell us a little bit about your business just to begin with here.
Well, I'm an independent designer, interior designer. I've been doing it for over 14 years. I specialize in kitchen and bath design, but that necessitates a lot of times we're touching other areas of the home, especially since we live in large great rooms. And so we want to make sure that the style and all the finishes flow together and make a cohesive space.
So you're really looking at everything. You're specializing in a couple of areas, but you have to look at everything.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Chad, how do you use people like Kathy in your business?
Sure. Well, so for us, the process starts with careful consideration of what are the goals of the project. And often, you know, it's having to define how much of the home are we going to alter, what needs to move and what can stay as it is. And certainly the overall aesthetic needs of the client are really important. And the finishes on a project are really going to determine what it costs to do.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that conversation at the beginning, you know, you could get into a situation where you're halfway through the project. And if that's when you're finalizing your choices, then you're really finding out what your project's going to cost. And we prefer not to do things that way. So for our company, we're doing all this planning on the front end before people commit to the project.
And that's a big advantage to the customer, I would think.
Definitely. Yeah, you can make informed decisions then. So,
well, when you work together, what are the roles here? You're the general contractor, Chad, typically here on something like this. And so kind of, how do you guys work together?
Yeah, well, so so full disclosure, Kathy and I served together on the Madison area NARI, you know, remodeling association, and so that's how we know each other. And Kathy, like me, has been very involved in the association for a number of years. For us in our company, we years ago would bring in interior designers as a collaborator in the planning process so that my estimator and architect and designer are all talking to the client to figure out the scope of the job. We currently have an interior designer on staff, and so that process is being handled now within my team on staff. So we don't often bring in an outside interior designer, but it's a very important part of the process, again, because you're really figuring out how much needs to change and what is the level of finish
for
the project.
So, Kathy, you work with a variety of people then.
Yes, I do. And I help them get through that design process, the layout, and then selecting all the finishes. With also an eye to their budget as well. I don't want to select something that's not going to be pleasing to them or that's going to be way out of their budget sight, too.
Yeah, I was thinking back to the remodels that I've had done, and the designers might say, okay, well, here are three options here. With this one is sort of the top end of your budget. This one is kind of in the middle, and this one could save you some money, and you could put it somewhere else.
Exactly. Also, there's so many choices out there for so many finishes, so I really help narrow that down to those two or three. You know, they're all going to work. They're all going to be good in their space. Like, which one do you like best? So that really saves a lot of time, and it helps the homeowner through that process.
Well, let's take some calls. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments as we talk about home improvement, color, and style design with our guests today, Kathy Driftmeyer and Chad Spaeth. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's turn to Lee in Phillips. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm sprucing up my home and putting in some new carpeting. I'm up in northern Wisconsin, so there's not a lot of suppliers. And they're going to charge $6 a yard for installation. That seemed really high to me. Is that in the normal ballpark?
So that $6, that includes the carpet and installation?
No, just installation.
That's a really good question, Lee. Thanks for asking that. A lot of that depends on the pad that you choose and the space that they're putting in and what do they need to do to put that carpet in. There's a lot of variability. Sometimes it depends on the carpet that you choose and how that needs to go down. So the best thing you can do is maybe get a comparison bid for the same things from somebody else and just sort of get, okay, is that in the ballpark or not?
I would think if you've got, if you've got like all square rooms that don't angle or anything, that's probably going to be easier as well than the other way.
Exactly. And what sort of transitions do you have in doorways or entryways? That all plays into the factor. So it's hard to say without having a knowledge of your home if that would be considered high or reasonable.
How many square feet are you talking about putting your carpeting in?
I haven't even calculated that, but it's a large bedroom, a hallway, 14 stairs, so quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes too, I imagine it would depend a little bit on the amount of work that's being done. If you just have a real small, short job, you might wind up paying a little more per square foot than you would for a large area, or am I just totally off on that?
Well, and the stairs, that takes a lot more time to do as well. Yeah. So that's a factor in that price also.
So the $6 a square foot is probably, it may be costing them the person who's doing it $12 a square foot, for example, for that part of it, and then less for the other parts.
Right, correct.
Well, and it is a square yard, too. So, I mean, you're actually...
It was square yard. Did you say square? Yeah, square yard.
Yeah,
yes.
And I would say it sounds like a pretty good price based on that because, that there are nine square feet in a square yard. So it's about 66 cents a square foot for the installation. So that,
and I had a square foot like a running bargain in my head.
Right.
So when you say, reminded me it was square yard, that does make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go, Kathy. Lee, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Maybe look and get another price, but it sounds like it's in the ballpark anyway, for sure.
Yeah.
Ann in Green Bay, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling.
Hello. See, I bought my house about 10 years ago, and it was already wallpapered, and I have an area that's kind of gotten a little bit beat up, and I'm wondering, is there some way that you can match old wallpaper?
Hi, thanks for calling. Well, you might be able to find the same pattern, but it might be in a different dye lot, which means it might not match the original color. Also, the color of your wallpaper, as you said, is beat up, but it might be a little faded as well. So the first step would be to find somebody in your area who does carry wallpaper to see if they can find that pattern again, because patterns come and go, they're discontinued, and you just want to maybe get a sample to see if it's the same as what you have.
Or look up in the attic in your home.
Yeah.
Or a corner in the basement where there might be some leftover from the original job. There we go. Thanks, Ann. Good luck. Appreciate the call. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Talking a bit about design, but we'll take other home improvement questions as well, certainly with our two guests. Susan in Cottage Grove emailed to ask if gray and white are getting dated, and are white and stainless still the best for bath fixtures and kitchen appliances?
Well, there's a lot of questions in that one question. to start with the first part of that, white and gray is still very popular. The gray is becoming warmer, a little bit more of a what's called a gris, a gray and a beige together. We're mixing the white with some more woods, in, for example, in kitchens, maybe white cabinets with a wood island. And metals are, mixing metals is really popular right now. So not everything is stainless. You might have a faucet that's chrome and light fixtures that are, say, a brushed brass, which is not the brass that we had in the 80s. So, and you might have an overhead fixture that's bronze. So that's sort of a trend, too, is to mixing those metal finishes.
Yeah, that makes makes good sense. I was thinking about my own house. I picked up the newspaper one day, and there was a story about unusual color in home exteriors, and they had some examples in the paper, and my house was one of the examples because it's kind of it's fairly green. It's green, and it's kind of almost a bright green. You know, would I have to paint that to sell the house, or would I?
I don't know. It depends on what the buyers are looking for.
Oh, man. Well, let's go to Diane in Manitouish Waters. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
We're looking at residing our house, and it's been 25 years, and I'm wondering if the contractor could compare and contrast benefits, disadvantages between the James Hardy siding and LP Smart Side Diamond Coat Finish siding.
Okay, sure. Well, that's a great question, and we have a conversation about those two products often with our clients. So a fiber cement siding, which is that Hardy board siding that you reference, that is a product that some people still prefer. It is made out of cement, so it can be very durable if properly installed. It does get painted on the surface, which is true of both that siding and the smart siding. So the color does not go all the way through it. But one of the disadvantages to a cement siding is that it actually is a brittle material. And so if it were to bend when it is being moved around or installed, it can crack on the surface, and you actually can get some hairline cracks in it that you wouldn't necessarily notice, and install it, and then down the road it may not look as nice as some of the other boards. Another thing that I experienced personally when I put that product on my own home 10 years ago is that it is no match for a baseball. A baseball will shatter, or put a very substantial divot. I mean, it actually will put a concave, perfectly formed divot in the side of the siding. And I mean, you know, keep in mind that, you know, my son was probably throwing at 60 miles an hour or something like that, and Dad missed the ball. And so that led us looking at some other products, and the smart siding is a product that we tend to install a lot of now. And for the listeners out there, unlike the cement siding, a smart siding is actually a wood chip composite material. It's primarily made out of wood. It is safer to cut and work with because the dust from that, unlike the silica cement siding, which is a carcinogenic material that we have to be very concerned about people who are cutting it and people in the area while it's being cut, the wood siding is less toxic. It's not as fragile to move around and work with. It also is painted on the surface. But it is a very stable formulation. The resins that are put into that material, we find not susceptible to rot. We throw a chunk of it every now and then into a bucket of water in the shop, and we pull it out a year later, and it still looks just like it did when we tossed it in the bucket. So unlike just a natural wood product, which is going to take on water and swell and, you know, do things eventually that make wood a higher maintenance material, a very good material, but a high maintenance material for siding. The smart siding, for the money, because it's easier to work with, it can be a little bit less expensive to install. And the product itself is pretty affordable. So my vote would be for the smart siding, but they both have pros and cons.
Yeah, there we go. Diane, thanks. Great question. Appreciate your call. Visiting today with Chad Spade, owner of Chad's Design Build of Madison, Monona. Kathy Driftmeyer owns Driftmeyer Design. She's an independent interior designer, and she specializes in kitchens, baths, and all types of cabinetry as well. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Potratz, our engineer, Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your home improvement questions and questions about color and style and design with our two guests, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, Kathy Driftmeyer of Driftmeyer Design. And I'll tell you what, the lines are all full right now. The number is 800-642-1234, but you can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's turn back to the phones and go to Vicki in Green Lake next. Hi, Vicki.
Good morning.
What's on your mind today?
I just have a fast question. I'm thinking of repainting my front door and possibly the shutters. And I've been having a quandary as far as coloring goes that would kind of give it a pop, but not like the extreme. The color of the house is like a bluish gray, like almost a Cape Cod blue, more on the gray side, but it does definitely show the blue in that. So I'm kind of wondering what color spectrum might go with the front door, and then if you do the front door, if you should also do the shutters, or right now the shutters are white and the venting trim is white.
Okay. Kathy, what do you think?
Well, I always like to make the front door stand out a little bit and make it a little bit bolder. One color that goes really well with blue is orange, and I'm not talking Halloween orange, but maybe a deep rusty orange would be really beautiful with that. I wouldn't do the shutters all in that same orange. You could keep them white or do it maybe a dark, a navy blue. I don't know the exact color of your house, so it's kind of hard to get specific. But I think that would really set the house off, especially if you have white trim around the windows.
What do you call that orange color? Is there a name for what you're talking about?
Well, there's probably about 25 colors in that range in any given paint. But if you're talking like a sort of a brick orange or a deep rusty orange,
rusty
you don't want
orange.
It too. Yes, rusty orange. I guess that would be the best thing I could say for the color.
There you go, Vicki. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. That would be pretty. And I like the idea of the darker blue for the shutters and so forth. That would stand out. Let's turn to Joy in West Bend next. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Thank you. We live in an old house. It's older than 100 years. We don't know exactly how old it is, but I would like to replace some of our storm windows with windows that have a wood frame. My husband's a carpenter, and he says they're no longer available. You know, we could get vinyl or metal or something, but I would like to, you know, have that same look of wood. We can paint it, and I would like the window to be openable, double pane, and have some screens also. Is that still available? Do you have a brand that we could go for?
So, Chad, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a great question, Joy. So there are still some manufacturers out there that are making wood windows for the primary window. And one that we recommend and that many architects specify for older homes is Marvin Windows. Marvin Windows are primarily made in Minnesota and...
been around a long time.
They have, yeah. They've been around for over 100 years and... Just a really quality product, often recommended as the top residential window by Consumer Reports magazine when they rate windows. They also make a wood-framed storm window, which you can order independent of the primary functioning window. But the wood frame does have a vinyl track and more traditional combination storm functionality within that wood frame. So it's kind of a hybrid product. And it sounded like what you might want is a traditional wood frame, like where you change out the storm. That is something that can be made. I know someone in the Madison area that will make those. And, you know, it's something that we've occasionally made things like that in our shop for a particular client for one or two windows that need to be repaired or restored. So, you know, any like a master carpenter could make something like that and put a spline in the wood to be able to inlay a screen or, of course, to just have a storm panel in there. So it's possible, but it is true that they have largely gone away and that the vinyl and aluminum framed storms have become the norm. It's 99% of what is replaced.
But you can still get the wood frames with a kind of a combination, though, right?
It's possible. Yes, it is. But that is what I would call kind of a specialty product. Many places don't do it. Marvin will make it, and there are a few other window manufacturers that will still make a wood-framed combination storm unit.
Yeah. So, Joy, I'd go online to at least to Marvin for sure and take a look at there's probably every option available on their website. Be worth taking a look at, I would think.
Yeah, and in the West Bend area, I'm not sure if there's someone in West Bend that sells Marvin, but if you do go onto their website, you will be able to find people in the area there, you know, west of Milwaukee that carry Marvin windows. And
would those folks be members of NARI, the National Association of Home Real?
So Marvin is definitely a member.
Okay.
And in fact, locally here, the Marvin rep is our president right now, the chapter. So they're very involved in NARI, both locally and nationally. But then I'm sure there are some contractors or suppliers that are likely to be NARI members as well.
Something to look for when you're, you know, that's sort of it's not a brand, but it's more of an assurance that you're going to get people who have met professional standards and maintained some additional education beyond their, you know, their first time out.
Correct. I mean, one of the things that I always like to promote and that I'm really proud of as a NARI member and board member is that we all take a vow to a code of ethics in the Remodeling Association. And, you know, when a homeowner or when another member feels like they haven't been treated fairly and honestly by a NARI contractor or supplier, you file a complaint.
Yeah.
And, you know, we take that very seriously. And I, you know, locally there have been people that have been kicked out of the association because they're just not doing right by their customer. So
there you go, Joy. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Kathy in West Bend. All right. Another caller from West Bend. Hi, Kathy.
Yes. I need some guidance, basically on priorities. I want to do a rather large project in my basement. It is, I want to do a fish room. I live in a duplex and want to replace the very old furnaces that are functioning at this point, but you know, you don't want to do a whole lot of work in a basement and then find out, whoops, we got to replace one or both of those furnaces. And of course, somewhere down there, if I'm putting in a fish room, I'm going to need to update the electricity down there for it. So, can you give me a handle on where I start, which is the logical place to prioritize, and
how I find somebody to do this.
Sure. Well, those are great questions, Kathy. Thanks for calling in. There are a variety of things that we talk to our clients about when we're looking at renovating a lower level. Certainly, one of them is it a dry space? If you do ever get water coming into the space, what are we going to do to mitigate that? Or, many times basements are dry until they get finished. And then all of a sudden we find that, well, water is getting into it. And, you know, once you finish off a space, you are altering the physics of that space. And so we want to be thoughtful about moisture and water. Thinking about the mechanicals is important. You're thinking about that. How can we get access to the mechanicals? There are actually codes that determine how much space we give to a furnace or to hot water heater, things like that. They have to be accessible for routine maintenance and repair. And certainly you would want to think about their replacement. Generally, the code is going to require that there be enough clearance to move those in and out of the space. My recommendation for guidance with this is to find a contractor or architect or designer who has some specialization in finishing off lower levels that can help you to create a plan. To talk to you about these issues, what they cost, what your options are. That's if you're in the Madison area, that there are companies like my own that do that with a client where you're going to hire the company to essentially develop your project. To give you advice on how to create that fish room, where's the best location for it based on what you are thinking and what you want to accomplish, and how you make sure that you haven't created other problems down the road. Is that helpful?
I think so. It's just going to be finding a person that I can work with, I believe.
Yeah,
sure.
Because, as I say, I'm not building a rec room or something. It's things for installing like a 200-gallon tank and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I do think the Milwaukee area NARI, I think, serves out as far as West Bend, and I would call into them and see if they can recommend any of their members that have experience dealing with some of these particular things that you are looking for, and then I would encourage you to interview some of those folks. I suspect that there are a handful of contractors out there that would be able to, take care of you and help you make good decisions.
And there's some unique things going on there with that fish. There's potential additional humidity. There's all kinds of things that...
Correct.
That you'd want to make sure that that person was up to, whoever you work with is up to date on it. So the NARI in Milwaukee is the place to go?
I think so.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Kathy. Good luck. Let us know how that turns out. I'd love to hear about it. It sounds great. By the way, Ann in Iowa emailed us to ask if you would recommend soapstone countertops in the kitchen. Kathy, would you recommend that?
Absolutely. Soapstone is a beautiful stone. It's been around for years and years and years. It's a unique stone. It doesn't require a sealer such as a granite would, but you use mineral oil to kind of protect it and bring out the beauty of it. I use soapstone quite a bit, actually.
So... there you go, Ann. Go ahead.
Yes, and it comes in lots of colors of gray, green, or black. So it's kind of like what sort of color level. Some of them have big, beautiful veining in it, and some are a little bit more muted. So if you have a place that sells countertops near you, it'd be good to look, especially if they have slabs that you can look at and see a big picture of what that stone might look like.
Let's turn to Keith in Superior now. Hi, Keith. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Larry. I have a question for your guest. We've got an older house. It's got the lap board siding on it, and I've just talked with some of my friends, and I've been getting conflicting reports on the benefits of having siding put on. Some of them have said they haven't really seen a lot of actual energy saving, and then some people have even said, like, they feel like the house can't breathe, if that makes any sense, once they had it done. And I just wondered if your guests could talk about that. It's got older windows in it as well, and I'm just trying to figure out what's going to actually make an impact on my bottom line if I, you know, put in new windows or if I have it sited.
Yeah. Okay, well, those are some great questions. I guess my basic advice would be that the simple act of changing siding is not likely to have much of an impact on your energy savings. And it's also true that replacing old windows and doors, surprisingly, will not have a huge impact on your energy savings, because an old window has an R value of 2, and a new window has an R value of about 3.5 or 4, because even a thermopane is still a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And so it is true that good gaskets and, you know, being able to close a window well so that you do not have air leakage around it, that's a really important variable. And when a window is rated for efficiency, it isn't really speaking to whether or not air is leaking around it. It's talking about how much heat can go through the glass or through the components of it. Typically, the payback on window replacement is around 30 to 40 years for energy savings, just to put that into perspective. And you really do get what you pay for in windows, but, you know, you're going to get more payback on a more expensive window. But a cheap window is probably going to do very little, because it's likely to leak a lot, even though it may have a perfectly good piece of glass in it. If you really want to tighten up your home and address energy, I've always been a big advocate of having a home performance evaluation done on your home.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, and that, you know, if you can look that up through the Focus on Energy website in Wisconsin and find someone in your area that could come out and do that evaluation, and they're actually going to test your home. They're going to depressurize it with a blower door and do some infrared imaging and a pretty thorough assessment of what you've got. And they're going to give you some very good recommendations on where you could focus your investment and what you would expect to get for a payback. And then there are contractors that also partner with the program that are going to be a little bit more serious about assuring you get a payback on the work, because they're focused on those energy improvements. So I would recommend going in that direction, because really all that matters is the way your house is put together. Often blowing insulation into the walls can be a very effective thing to tighten up the home, and doing some detailing around openings where mechanical pipes and other things are going in and out of the home, insulating the box sill in the basement, going up in the attic and air sealing. So I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, I've had that done on a home, and it was just surprising to see where the where we were losing energy. It was amazing, that blower door test, and for a few $100.
Yep.
It made a big difference, and I think you get a report that says, okay, here's the top priority for you to go on, here's the second, here's the third, here's the fourth. It really gives you a great plan.
Absolutely, and then on top of it, you know, often to get the full assessment, you're often going to be spending $400 to $500, but then if you do the work, you can then potentially get some cash rewards for different things that you do. And they do a follow-up test. They have the program's a little different now than it was back when I started with it 20 years ago. But essentially, there's some quality control measures through the program. And depending on how well you do, You get a larger check in the mail potentially. And that's just icing on the cake because it's the energy savings and comfort that you would really benefit from.
Yeah, there we go. Keith, good luck with that. Appreciate your call very much. Barbara in Slinger, your turn. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for taking my call. Your show is the best show I can think of listening to.
Thank you.
Anyway, just now being patient, listening to some of the other comments, I just want to make a couple of quick comments on previous callers. Look for that wallpaper because I found some in my basement. And as far as windows go, I just happened to replace some windows old from 1880. And it was just a matter of comfort, not sitting next to them and feel the draft. So I know I will not recuperate the cost, but just the comfort and not having to haul out those big storm windows every spring and putting the screens and being a major project, that really helps. Whether that helps to defray the cost down the line, but it's a matter of comfort. Yeah. Anyway, so here's my question. This is an old farmhouse. Originally, the footprint, probably from 1870, 1860, has been added on over the decade, century, numerous times. And it comes with four little bedrooms and one and a half little tiny bathrooms. But upstairs, which at some point was an separate apartment, there is what I call the old kitchen, which has plumbing. There used to be a sink. There still is a sink. And there's a vent. They probably had a kitchen vent at some point. So I'm thinking resale value. I would like to turn that old kitchen, in quotes, into another bathroom and also move up the laundry, which is downstairs in a wet basement in an old cistern, which I got used to. It's fine. But I'm thinking, you know, somebody's looking at this house 10 years from now when I'm ready to get rid of it, would they really want another bathroom which was having already four existing bedrooms?
Mm-hmm.
And how much money should I really invest? And I have kind of a picture how to do this. I don't want a modern new bathroom. I want it to go with the style of this old farmhouse.
And what is it, a big area there, that kitchen?
It's a rectangle, so there could be easily put in a little bathroom and then in front an area for laundry and dryer. So people don't have to go in the basement to the old cistern and do their laundry and fighting the mice.
There you go. Understood, Barbara. Well, what do you think, Kathy?
Well, that's a really great question, and there's a lot of variables going on there. I think the best advice I could give you is to have a professional in your area come and look at it, and look at the mechanicals of the house and the plumbing and what shape it's in, and maybe advise you on what it would take to accomplish that. It's a real difficult question to ask without seeing what you're looking at and all the variables that are in that house. So if you have an area professional in your area, of course, that was where I would recommend you start. But that's really the best way, is to get that expert in there that can give you advice on and some direction on which way to proceed.
There'd certainly be a way to do that. The house I am living in now, the third story of that house, we made a bedroom and a bathroom up there, and it had been an apartment-style area.
Right.
And that's my daughter's room now. And she's got her own bathroom, and I think that really added to the value of the home.
Right. Right. From a resale and a practical standpoint, it certainly makes sense. But the information you need is, what is it going to cost and what is it going to entail to make that happen?
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm happy to throw some kind of ballpark, you know, arguably meaningless numbers, but just kind of what you might expect it to cost because of the age of your home. It's going to cost more than if you were doing this to a house built in the last 20 or 30 years. And it would the cost versus value report will tell you right now. You can look this up online at costsvsvalue.com. Adding a bathroom is often going to cost somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000 to $80,000. Adding a bathroom to a home, and it probably is adding 70% to 80% of its cost to in value, because bathrooms are very valuable rooms, particularly in an old house like this one that probably doesn't have a nice bathroom in it. So it might really become a sales feature along with that laundry.
Yeah, I hope that Barbara, does that help out?
Yeah, except I'm new to the area, so where do I turn to find the so-called expert?
Yeah. So you're in Slinger, which is, let's see, what's the nearest big city to Slinger? I'm trying to think.
Oh, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yeah, it's close to Milwaukee.
So. Yeah, so I would say the Milwaukee-Nari chapter.
And Nari is spelled N-A-R-I. N-A-R-I,
yeah.
That's right.
Yep. National Association of the Remodeling Industry.
So you can go online and look for Nari and find someone who is a member.
Yep. I mean, if you go to the association website, you will be able to put in some keywords and find members that promote their services that are relevant to you. It's also, I know it's often helpful for consumers in the Madison area. They call into our office and, can get some additional assistance from people in the office.
Just on the phone, get it done pretty quickly.
Yeah.
There you go. Barbara, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, Kathy Driftmeyer of Driftmeyer Design, our two guests today. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at home improvement, home remodeling, color and style design with our two guests, Kathy Driftmeyer, who owns Driftmeyer Design. She's an independent interior designer. Chad Spade owns Chad's Design Build, been with us a number of times here on the show for about 12 years now, I think we were talking about before the show started. You can join in some open lines at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Ann in Duluth, Minnesota. Ann, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have an older home. It was built, I think, in 1927, and it has steel siding on it, which turned chalky, and I didn't like that. So I asked a friend who owns a painting company if we could paint it, and he said, not really. You can't paint steel. But he advised power washing it. My husband was kind of opposed to that, but I bullied him into doing it anyway. And now we have a house that's sort of like dark in some spots and light in other spots. It does not look good. And it's not really, really bad, but I sure do notice it. It's uneven, I guess I would say. We read about a product called Everbright, which supposedly works well on steel siding to, reduce the chalkiness and bring an even tone back to it. And I'm just wondering what you would recommend.
Well, Anne, those are some great questions, and I'm surprised to hear that, I think a painting contractor has the right to say they don't want to paint steel siding, certainly, but I do think it is possible to repaint steel. But like any paint job, whatever the material is, it has to be properly prepared prior to painting, and an old steel sided home is challenging. I'm not familiar with that particular product. We're definitely familiar with the problems that you can have with steel siding. I would not give up on being able to have it professionally painted if the siding itself is in pretty good shape. And certainly there's no if it looks pretty good, then I would encourage you to try to go that path. It could be that this Everbright product is going to do a nice job of cleaning it up and you don't need to do anything else. I'm not familiar with it, but I suspect that you might be able to find a painter and make it look just brand new. And I would encourage you to go down that road.
Yeah, take a look. Look around a little bit more. Talk to some other folks, Ann, and see what you can come up with. Good luck. Let us know how it works out. Let's go to Susie in Toma next. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. Just like everybody else, I thoroughly enjoy your programs, all of them.
Thank you.
Now, I don't have an old house. I have a relatively new house, and I just recently used command strips to hold up my pictures, and I recently took off a heavy-duty command strip. It's for 25 pounds or more that it holds. And when I removed it, a big paint chip and some drywall paper came off with it.
Yeah.
I do have the paint available, and it's about, oh, I don't know, a foot and a half away from the ceiling. Can I just paint over that, or should I do some repair to it, or what do you suggest?
So that's a great question. Thanks for calling. So I would recommend just some spackling compound to, with a putty knife, to make the wall nice and smooth. The chances are where the material was removed and it left a little bit of a mark or a divot, just carefully spackling over that will make the surface more uniform and repair that damage. And then you can either sponge or lightly sand where you've patched. And once you're happy with the look of the surface, just prime it and paint it, and it should be, should be fine. And if you don't think it needs to be repaired other than painting, then it is true that you can just prime it and paint it. If you think that the appearance of the surface itself does not need to be repaired.
I've got a little repair job like that in my own house, the result of moving a table that clanked into the wall. So I was listening very carefully to what you had to say there.
Well, it sounds like you might need some reinforced mesh tape or something like that for that repair. But
oh, man. Susie, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Mike in Lodi, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Our house was built in 1996. Our windows are very drafty, and the brick mold on the outside, the wood, is starting to rot. So looking to replace those. Wondering what type of windows are best. I get a lot of conflicting information from contractors who only install one brand that, all the other ones are horrible. We're looking for anything except wood. Is there anything we should look at specifically or stay away from?
Sure. Well, Mike, thanks for calling. Great question. So I always recommend Consumer Reports as a source for rating particular brands of windows. I don't like to advocate on the show for a particular brand necessarily. There are a number of good brands out there. We do mention Marvin a lot because it is often the top rated window, and I've always been happy not just with the product but with their follow up and commitment to having a happy client. They have excellent customer service. As far as the material that windows are made out of these days, I am a big advocate for fiberglass windows. I think that is the future of windows. Fiberglass has very much taken over doors, a quality door that looks and feels like a wood door but is in fact a much more durable finish. Is a fiberglass door, and the same is true nowadays of windows. Again, Marvin is one of the leaders in that particular material and the development of it. They created a fiberglass product about 20 years ago. They call it Integrity, and you can get windows that are made entirely out of fiberglass, or you can get windows that have a wood veneer on the interior side of the fiberglass extrusion. you know, with a fiberglass product, it's not going to be solid fiberglass. There's always some sort of hollow core that often has an insulating material in there. And then there's, you know, a material, the fiberglass itself, which is maybe an eighth of an inch thick, sometimes in places a little thicker. But that's going to give you a product that is stable. It doesn't move. It can be repaired. It can be painted, and it'll hold the paint well. And it's a good insulating material. So, you know, whether or not you end up with double hung or awning or casement and all these different varieties, I mean, that's open. That's another conversation. But I would recommend fiberglass as a material.
There you go. Thanks so much, Mike. Jody in Rhinelander emailed to say she has a vintage French provincial bedroom furniture set and wonders about a good online resource to get some inspirational ideas, such as coordinating bedding and wall color ideas or general decor that will go with this furniture, mixing old with new.
Oh, that's a really good question. Two of my favorite resources are Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z. They have over 2 billion images, and you can type in French provincial bedroom. You can be more specific. You could put blue French provincial bedroom, and it will come up with images that you can scroll through and save to an idea book and get inspiration that way.
I'll let you save the other for a reveal after our look at the news. So it's H-O-U-Z-Z, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. We are going to take a quick look at the news and weather. Chad Speed, our guest today of Chad's Design Build. Kathy Driftmeyer, our other guest, owns Driftmeyer Design. She's an interior, independent interior designer and specializes in kitchens, baths, and all types of cabinetry. And we'll be back with our guests right after this look at the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here taking a look at home improvement, color, and style design as well with our two guests, Chad Spate, owner of Chad's Design Build, and Kathy Driftmeyer, independent interior designer and owner of Driftmeyer Design. Questions for them, give a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And speaking of emails, just before our news break, we had Jody in Rhinelander email to say she has vintage French provincial bedroom furniture set, wants a good online resource to get some inspirational ideas, such as coordinating bedding and wall color ideas or general decor. One of the areas, or one of the sites you mentioned was Houzz, which is H-O-U-Z-Z.
Right.
And you had another one as well?
Yes, Pinterest is another one that's very popular. And with Pinterest, you can also save the images to boards, which is just a way for you to save those images and review them later. Houzz also has a feature where you can actually click on items you see in the images that you like. And a lot of times it will tell you what those are and where you can purchase them, too. So that's a really handy resource.
Makes very good sense. Let's take a call now from Mark in northern Wisconsin. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
My comment, I guess, and question is I had a hard time. My first two houses I replaced and put an addition on, so I'm familiar with Anderson's and Hurd's and Crestvine's. The next house I purchased had green windows, lots of windows, tall, high ceilings. No attic, but I was losing, it seemed to be losing a lot of heat, and I heard you talk about heat, but I also, I could tell, I could hear the noise outside from the road, and then I had ladybugs getting in, of course, the infamous ladybugs. So I found a custom manufacturer of storm windows up in Duluth area for about $150 each. I replaced 23 of them, and then I put a 10-year seal around the window and put them onto that, it was the old Norco brand windows, you know, they had the grills and everything. So they looked really nice, but apparently there was something, you know, they weren't made very well, or there was air leakage. I just was wondering on your thoughts and comments on storm windows and what's the advantage as opposed to $150 versus $500 or $600 or $700 for some of the windows you were dusting, replacing.
Right. Well, thanks, Mark. These are great questions, and we appreciate the call, because the interesting thing about a storm window on many modern windows, you know, back before we had thermally insulated glass, the storm window actually was the second pane of glass, and it wasn't terribly efficient, but it did create a second barrier to heat and also to the wind. And the problem with putting storm windows up on the typical modern window is that that glass on a modern window, because it's a thermopane, it performs much better and it insulates much better. So the air temperature on the exterior side of a modern window is going to be much colder in the wintertime. It simply is not going to get all the heat transfer through that double thermopane of glass. So what we tend to see is condensation on storm windows when they're installed over a modern window. So I just want to raise that issue. That's why we don't often just go there as a solution. And in fact, the way around it, and this can work, is we can recommend a custom fitted interior storm window, because that's really where we have to, you know, create that second barrier and achieve some air sealing, because typically the thermodynamics in a home, the air wants to drive out of that window up on the top floor, and often if it's a ranch, it'll be on the main floor, and if it's a two-story home, the pressure that drives air out is strongest on the second floor. So does that help explain why?
And the reason the storm window, I experienced this past winter, but the windows were green, so I found that's the other thing. 23 of them, and 23 times 500 is a lot of money. So.
Yeah,
sure. Well, it's definitely true that whatever solution you come up with, if you can better air seal a window and make it more comfortable and better performing with a storm window, whether it's installed on the inside or the outside, that's definitely a less expensive way. The other thing I just want to mention is that many times with a modern window, like say the window that you had in your home, you know, there are gaskets on the perimeter of a modern window. That there were no gaskets on 100-year-old windows, but any window made in the last 20 to 30 years tends to have gaskets that help to seal it in all those areas. And those gaskets wear out before the window wears out. Oftentimes, the gaskets can be replaced on a newer window, and that completely rejuvenates the seal, so that you don't have as much air movement around the window unit. Now, the issue of the ladybugs, I mean, that can be a function of those gaskets, but it can also be a function of sloppy waterproofing and air sealing around the entire window jamb itself. And often we find those ladybugs are in the space between the rough frame opening of the house and the window unit. And so the best way to address that is to foam with a low expansion foam around the unit.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling, Mark. Appreciate it very much. Mary Lou emailed to say she's renovating her kitchen and will have a 5 foot by 8 foot island in the center. So 5 by 8. How many lights should be above the island? She's thinking 2 or 3. She's looking at lights with a diameter of 10 to 13 inches. One thing to note is that there'll be a gas cooktop at one end of the island, installed parallel to the 5 foot end and facing toward the 8 foot length of the island. She would rather not have lights over it.
Okay, that's a really good question. I'd say a minimum of three lights, four, depending on the output of the light, what sort of watts you have. I would recommend a light over the cooktop so you can see what you're doing. If the lights are spaced properly, then it could spill plenty of light onto that. But whatever, if you do three lights, they should be spaced properly to cover the whole length of that island.
So you're thinking maybe even four lights.
Right. It depends on the sort of the beam spread of the light and whether what type of light. Is it a glass shade that's also going to throw light into the room, or does it have a solid shade that's throwing light only down? So there's a lot of factors that play into that.
Chris called to ask where to go to get tax rebate information. Chad, that goes back to what you were talking about earlier. And I think that's available right on the Energy Star website, is it not?
I believe so. I mean, certainly for federal tax rebate, you know, the IRS, I mean, you can Google and certainly get some good information directly from the IRS on that.
For federal, yeah.
Correct, for federal. I'm unaware of any current state energy rebates. But
yeah, I think they went away, didn't they? Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so.
But, of course, I would say the best person to ask on that would be a tax accountant.
Yeah. Chris in Arcadia, let's go to you next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a bedroom that has white trim baseboards and white doors. And on the other side of the, I have an attached bathroom that the bathroom is has a dark wood stain baseboards with a white door between them. Is there a rule of thumb as to what color the casing should be on the bathroom side? Should it match the door and be white, or should it match the baseboard and be wood, dark wood trim?
I would say that I would make it white to match the door and then have the dark baseboard just dye into the side of that trim.
All right.
That makes the most sense. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Gary in Waupaca, your turn. Hi, Gary.
Hey, good afternoon, Larry, Chad, and Kathy. Hey, I was calling in. I heard Joy's comment or question about the replacement windows. And I wanted to just share, I did a 1920s four square and then a small post-war home. And I used Colby and Colby. Now, I used double hung, so she didn't say what size or what type of window. But they had a nice, they used PP&G paint on the exterior. And you can get them painted on the interior, or you can leave it raw for your own stain. And I'll tell you, they worked really good. You know, they snapped in, the track snapped in. I think almost any handyman could do it. But the nice thing about it was the sales rep came out, measured the frames so you didn't have to do that yourself. And I'll tell you what, every one of them fit like a glove other than like OJ's, you know. It was really nice. There's their main location is in Wausau, and I know they have another location in Manawa, but that might be another option if, you know, she doesn't want a vinyl trim and have that look of vinyl, you know.
Chad, what about that?
Yeah, well, so Colby & Colby is a Wisconsin window manufacturer, and they make a pretty good product, and we have used them more back in the 90s. But I'm familiar with their product, and it is true they also do make a wood window, or at least they did not that long ago. I think the particular product you're referring to is a sash replacement kit, which is something that, you know, you can take out the old sashes of a window and then have these made-to-order sashes, and there's a vinyl track that snaps in on the two sides. And if you have a square opening for the old window, then a sash kit can be a very effective way to upgrade a window. The problem is that often old window openings are not square. And so the way other manufacturers, Marvin, for example, used to make a sash kit, just like Colby and Colby's, And they went away from that because of this issue, and they create what's called an insert window now, where you can literally insert an entirely new window unit, jamb and all, into the old jamb opening. So you remove the sashes, you slide in the kit, and it's like a new window within an old window. Hmm. The problem with that, of course, is that you lose a little bit of glass, and the window opening gets a little smaller. But it's definitely true that there are different ways to upgrade a window, and that there are reasons why certain approaches aren't necessarily as effective as others, depending on what your particular situation is. Yeah. But that's a good thing to bring up.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gary. Appreciate your call. I want to give Stephanie and Beloit a chance to join in. Stephanie, hello.
Hi. I have a question also about windows. I purchased a house last year in Beloit, and it's a 1925 house, and it only came with storm windows. It has no screens, and I've been trying to find either someplace to buy screens or someone to make them, and I'm not having any luck. I'm wondering if your guests might have some suggestions.
So that's a great question, Stephanie. So there are a variety of companies that can manufacture screens to potentially fit your needs. You know, certainly at the lumber yards in the Madison area, there are different options that can be provided, and some of the big box stores too. I mean, they have different products that might suit your needs. Did I hear you say that you have essentially a old removable storm window?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So, you know, one thing you could consider is you could simply replace those with a combination storm, and that's going to be something that's going to be the most cost-effective way for you to have screens and storms. Often these units can be manufactured and installed for around $200 a window, which is a lot less than having a new wood-framed storm frame manufactured and then have, you know, a screen put into it. And then you still have to go out every year, twice a year, and take down the screens and put up the storms and store everything. But that would be your other option, would be to find someone that could manufacture that for you.
Oh, there we go. Thank you so much for calling. And Mary in Richland County, your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Good afternoon. I have a comment on the Marvin Integrity patio doors.
Yeah.
I had one installed last fall. I do not know about Marvin Integrity regular windows, but I would never, ever buy a Marvin Integrity patio door again, at least the model that I have. It is noisy when you close it. It is very, very lightweight. The screen, the stoppers on the bottom of the screen to make sure that bugs don't come in, had a two-and-a-half-inch piece of vinyl gasketing on each edge of the patio screen. When I would close it and open it, the gasket would come out. The repair person came and put in a full-length gasket. Where I purchased the place was at a lumber yard just north of Richland County, and they did not have one on display for me to see. So my caution would be to folks, make sure you see what you are buying. I pretty much went with the recommendation of the salesperson saying that this was a very good window, and I know I've heard so much about Marvin Windows and them being good, but I am not so sure about the integrity.
Well, Mary, I really appreciate your call. You made a couple of great points. I'm sorry that this particular product that you had put in your home isn't working out well for you. You know, we have installed, I believe, the product that you're describing, and, you know, it could be something was not properly installed, but I will say the one point you made, which I could not agree with anymore, it's really a great point, is that consumers should always be able to see the product that they're selecting and actually with a window or a door, you know, use it in a showroom and see if you like it. And then you have something to compare what's put into your home to. And if it's obviously different, then, well, you haven't been sold what you selected. We do have vendors in the Madison area that have good showroom samples of the products that we typically sell to our clients. And I am always adamant about people seeing it. And I think that's a great point. I would follow up. I would be persistent with Marvin. If the lumberyard is not, standing behind it, I would reach out to Marvin and let them know what your concerns are. And I think you might be pleasantly surprised. I've always known them as a company to be very responsive, but
yeah,
I'd appreciate hearing if they weren't too.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mary, for calling. Appreciate your call. Kathy, I wanted to go back to you for a minute. You specialize in kitchens and baths. What are the are there some common mistakes that you see in this whole process?
Well, the key part to an effective kitchen is starting with the layout and the function of the kitchen. Where do your major appliances go? And the storage. A big trend in kitchens now is accessible, dedicated storage. And I do spend quite a bit of time thinking about where do your spices go? Where do your utensils go? Your knives. We want to get as much as possible off the counter and store it in a place where you're going to use it. So getting the layout is a key. And then once we get the layout, the kitchen will function, and then we add the materials and finishes to make it aesthetically beautiful.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. Are there times when you come in and say, you look at some cabinets in there and say, you know what, if you put a coat of paint and different handles on this, you're going to have a great looking new thing?
Yes, that's very true. Sometimes that is an appropriate way to refresh your kitchen. A lot of times that'll come into play if somebody is thinking about selling their home in a couple of years, and they want to freshen it up, but they don't want to put a lot of money into it. So a paint and new hardware. There are companies that can reface your cabinets and put new doors and new facing on it. And they can also upgrade your drawers and put all the accessories in there and keeping your same footprint as well.
What about the bathrooms? Anything, any mistakes there that you see that kind of stick out?
Well, generally the mistakes in bathrooms have already been made with the large tub in the corner. It's a big space waster. The trend now is if you want a tub and a shower in the bath, a freestanding tub. It takes up a lot less space. Storage is another issue in the bathroom. Do you want one or two sinks? That's another in a master bath. Mostly, though, I take out tubs and we're putting in larger custom showers in their place.
Yeah, I can see that. I've got a tub in my bathroom, which I could do without, probably.
Yeah, most people tend to shower, but it depends on their preference.
That's what my daughter just got, the shower, and she's and it looks pretty nice too. It's larger and it looks nice. Well, listen, it's been a lot of fun talking with both of you today. Thank you so much, and look forward to another visit. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Chad Spade owns Chad's Design Build. Kathy Driftmeyer is owner of Driftmeyer Design. She's an independent interior designer, and it's great talking with both of them. I know Chad's back on September 13th, so look forward to that. Tomorrow, oh my goodness, it's Friday tomorrow. That means Garden Talk. Melinda Meyer will be back to talk with Jill about how to keep your garden looking great in the summer heat. So I hope you'll join us at 11 tomorrow for that, or 7 a.m. on Saturday. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.